Welcome to Straight From The Horse's Mouth Radio Show. I'm Paula Slater, your host. Today I'd like to welcome Elizabeth Thompson. And Elizabeth is an equine vet with a referral equine dental practice. And Elizabeth is also a writer under the name of Lizzie Tremaine. Welcome, Lizzie.
Hello, Paula. Thank you for having me on your show this morning.
And you live in New Zealand.
I do.
Beautiful country.
It's very, very green.
Mm-hmm.
And not white like it is at your place right now.
Right. And lovely for horses.
It's lovely for horses, as long as you don't have ponies.
Right.
They're like to founder.
That's right. For sure. Now, you grew up in California and then moved to New Zealand. Is that correct?
That's correct. I grew up in the Redwoods, just southwest of the San Francisco Bay Area in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and went to veterinary school at UC Davis. Came to New Zealand on holiday 2 years later, was offered a job and stayed.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And that was in 91, so it's been quite a few years.
Right. Now, we're going to talk about your writing today, and I would like to know your background. I always like to know the origins of creativity, and especially for writers, how they started.
I think I started writing when I was in high school. We had this fantastic, fantastic teacher named Patty Olson, who is no longer on this planet, unfortunately. But I see her over my shoulder all the time when I'm writing. So I keep my knots tied and my socks up when I'm writing because of Patty. So thanks, Patty. I did a little bit of writing in high school, as everyone does. I quite loved it, but my real goal was to go to veterinary school, so I never really pursued it. Once I finished veterinary school, started my own practice, and when I came to New Zealand, I perceived a need for more education for owners. So I started writing for Horse and Pony magazine, which is a longstanding horse magazine in New Zealand. I had a wonderful editor there. Who is still around. She's not working for Horse and Pony right now, but her name is Joan Gilchrist. When I look at the stuff that she had to edit now of mine, I cringe. So I give her lots of credit. But my real fiction writing, after that, I wrote as an equine veterinarian for quite a few years as well for the veterinarians, in addition to writing for Horse and Pony, but I wrote a lot. I'm trying to get a lot of information out there about postural rehabilitation, which is a combination of acupuncture, chiropractic, and postural work that I do as well, that I've done since I came here. But trying to get the dentistry forward is where I really started writing. Wrote a lot of articles, was awarded, got a beautiful bronze for it from the Equine Veterinary Association. And I had an injury about 5 years ago, or a recurrence of an injury, and that put me in bed for several months, and I didn't think I'd practice again, so I had just started my first novel, was very excited about it, had met someone through carriage driving, which I do, who was a member of the Romance Writers Association, and I always cringed when I heard romance writing, but I actually am president of the Romance Writers Association right now, so obviously it's not such a bad thing. I started writing seriously when I was stuck in bed and found that I could do it, and that it really had some great effects on me in terms of letting me work through emotional challenges that needed to be worked through. So I just kept going, and my first novel came out early this year, and my second and third will hopefully both be out, dare I say, before February, hopefully before Christmas.
Now, your first novel was A Long Trail Rolling, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really historical fiction, but I tend to call it a Western historical romantic adventure, and it's set in 1860 in the Old West. Utah, Pony Express, Girl Rider, Indians, a little bit of a different take on it. And, yeah.
A girl rider.
A girl rider. So there's no documented
right.
there's no documented historical precedent for it. But looking at the sheer numbers of women that they have found since then who were fighting in the Civil War, which was about a year after that book took place, you can't rule it out.
No, that's right. How exciting.
Or it gives me an opening.
Yeah. No, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
And so you continued on with this, or?
I continued on with this. What was going to be the second book in the series, which is now the third, is 85% finished. And the now second book in the series is probably about 60% finished right now. The little shuffle there happened because two of my beta readers said, oh, there's another story between the end of your story and the epilogue. You need to write another book, which I hadn't planned. But it's happening right now. And that book has the same characters who go through from Utah, where their first story takes place, through the silver mining country of Nevada, which was then Utah territory, and on through to California gold fields, old San Francisco, and to the old San Francisco Bay Area, Redwood City, La Honda, where I grew up.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and the third story, they head for New Zealand. They want to get away from what's happening with the Indians. They've found they can't do much about it, and they're just so distressed about it. They want out. So they have heard from a friend of theirs that New Zealand is great. Everybody gets along. And they get there in the middle of the Waikato Wars, which was a big upheaval in New Zealand between the Maori and the Pakehas, or the white settlers.
Oh.
And the fourth goes on from there.
Oh,
so
excellent.
In New Zealand.
Very interesting.
I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. I just can't wait to get back to the New Zealand book. This second book is killing me.
Now, as far as historical fiction and so on, you have a love of that because you get involved with historical reenactment things.
I do.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I do. Okay. It's a lot of fun. I take it a lot of people on your show are horse people.
Yeah, so yes.
most of us, yeah,
yes.
Imagine. I am. So I would imagine that if you want to play with horses and do fun things, there are reenactment groups most places around the world. The SCA, the Society for Creative Anachronism, is on the web, and it is a group of people who try to reenact, depending on the area that you're in, fairly closely to what is historically real, so far as we can find. Everyone will help you make your clothes. Tends to be a lot of linens and wools and
leather.
And leather, yeah, yeah, all that. You can play with horse. If you're playing with horses, you can do, it's called skill at arms, which is where you work with a lance and you go loping along and catch rings on the end of your lance and things like that. You can go from there up through jousting, and there are a lot of people doing jousting now. A lot of fun. You can do archery. You can do horseback archery. You name it, you do it. You go to camps and bring your gear and live it as much as you wish to live it. It's a lot of fun.
Now,
a lot of fun.
These groups, do any, are they filmed at all, or?
A lot of times you do have people taking videos. Some of it's placed on TV. Some of it goes into YouTube videos. There are very active groups. There are teams from all around the world that go to compete in things like Battle of the Nations, which is a bunch of guys in armor and big sticks and swords whacking each other. A big army against big army. They're down and gone within 20, 30 seconds. They just bash on each other till they fall down, and then they're dead. It's really amazing. You can look all this stuff up. Hysterical. But it's really a lot of fun, and I enjoy it. It's getting out of the world you're in and getting into a different one of your choosing.
I think that's a good thing. I think adults need to play, and that's exactly,
so.
You know, and imagine. And if you lose your imagination, for me, it's like, well, you might as well be dead. But now you're interested in archery.
I am. I am. And I'm pleased to say that my son, who barely picks up a bow, is an immensely better shot than I am. It's wonderful. one of my two sons. It's fun. But the horseback archery is really a blast. There's a lot of people around the country. Horseback archery is really on the up.
Really?
Just look it up. There are people all over. There are Facebook groups with it. There are people that have a whole barns dedicated to it. It's really amazing.
Now,
lots of fun.
Are you, I gather you're moving while you're doing this? Are you moving while you're doing this? You're riding? You're trotting? Or can you just give us a visual on this?
Yeah. Okay. You can make yourself a bit of a an alleyway down the long sides of an arena or a flat field, and just teach your horse to start going through it at a walk while you start firing arrows. I use blunts because we have grass here, and if you don't use blunts are a regular arrow with a rubber stopper on the end, essentially. And so when you do fire these arrows, you don't lose them in the sand or in the grass. In New Zealand, we have a problem with losing things in the grass because there is so much of it all the time. And you may have to desensitize your horse by having them in a little round pen somewhere near where you're doing it. My horse really, in the beginning, didn't like the sound of the arrows hitting the target. So not hitting the target wasn't a good option either. But you just started a walk and you work up. The top man in the world can shoot, I believe, don't quote me, 14 spinning plates at a gallop in 13 seconds. Something along those lines. Wow. Don't quote me on that, but it's close. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. Spinning plates that are thrown up in the air. Mm-hmm. And he can hit those, I think it's 18 seconds. 14 spinning plates in 18 seconds or something like that. Somebody will find the real numbers. You guys ring me and tell me.
So you've got lots and lots of background or fodder for your books.
Yes, yes.
Historical fiction.
Yeah, I think Alexandra really is the girl I wanted to be growing up. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of good. You get to live vicariously through your characters.
Right.
If you have had a really bad relationship with somebody that you can't fix, you know what? You can fix it with your characters.
Well, that's true.
It's quite fun. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to worry about the real people.
Well, I've seen you with your bow and arrow and your leather jacket, and it's quite arresting.
That's actually the brown silk, the brown one?
Yes.
That's actually silk.
Oh.
It looks
like leather.
It does. It is that color. It's a lovely dress.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Well, that's
a lot of fun. When you put something like that on, you know it's on. And
I think that as a writer, that should help you get right into it.
I think
it does. Because you're feeling the different, the fabrics and the tightness or the looseness or whatever it is of that particular period. And you're able to talk about that and write about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. It's fun to put yourself in that place. My next series that I have in the back of my head is in the 13th century, and that's going to be fun. I can't wait for that one. But it was just a woman that we, when my now partner and I were in the UK, it's just a woman that we came across somewhere that there isn't a lot written about. So I'm going to have a go at that. Very exciting.
Wow. So that leads into inspiration. I'm sure that the historical reenactments give you information for that. And so I'm wondering if you could talk to me about that, your inspirations, and how you deal with it. Do you keep notes in Evernote, or do you keep a little notepad? How do you work that?
While I'm writing, or things that I think I might want to write about?
I think let's start with things that you might like to write about. Like your lady that you found in the UK. You, I assume, were visiting or...
We were over visiting in the UK, and I came across this person. And the hair in the UK, and I'm not going to say any more than that. After I write it, I'll come back and tell you all.
Oh,
it's a big secret, this one.
All right.
But when I came across her, the hair stood up on my arms. And I thought, oh, this woman is special. I need to write about her. So sometimes things just hit me. And I've learned the more I mm-hmm. shut up and get out of the way and just be still, things come to me. And I write it. And the best writing is when you're in that zone, when you're not really focused and paying attention and sticking to your plot that you've planned out. And I guess that kind of inspiration is really cool. I think to start, Long Trail Rolling didn't start like that. Long Trail Rolling started as I'd met this woman who was in romance writing. And she invited me to a local chapter meeting, and I went, and I was enthralled because there was a whole room full of people that wanted to do this. And it was really exciting to me. And I went to my first national conference a month later before I'd gotten stuck into a lot of bad habits, which was really good. And Bob Mayer was the main speaker, and he writes historical fiction. And he also writes books about writing and spends a lot of time going to conferences and speaking to people. So he got me onto some really good really onto a good track for writing, and I went from there. But so that was all very inspiring for me. A Long Trail Rolling started really after I'd been to that, and I really planned it out very well, and it took a little time for me to figure out how I write best, and I think that probably is true for a lot of people.
And are you speaking of perspective or first person or narrative or what?
What I'm talking about is when I say how I write, I mean, are you a plotter or are you a pantser? Okay, I've made a PDF will be on the web on your website, mm-hmm. and on there I talk about plotters and pantsers. People who are plotters plot it all out. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people straight from their plan, okay? And other people are pantsers, which is they go by the seat of their pants. I'm a combination of both. I need a bit of structure to hang my coat on, really. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I use history. I love doing research, and it's my excuse to research and learn about all sorts of things I like to hear about. So I take the historical record as best I can find it, and that is my baseline. That is my timeline. And then I just fit my fictional characters in around the historical characters that are really there. So I'm a plotter in that I use that historical structural framework as my plot, do my plotting around that. And then I put my characters in it and I let them go. Mm-hmm. And I just start writing. But that's taken me a couple of years really to get good at. Mm-hmm. So, and I hope I will keep getting better at it as time goes.
Now, so, when you are, you know, creating your plot, what, how do you go about that? Some people, as you say, each person and each author has said this to me, each person is different in how they approach the paper, the computer, whatever, is different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What I think I know what you're asking. What I used to do was to do it all on the computer. But what I've discovered in the last 3 months, really just last 3 months, is that if I write it, there's too many distractions in my office. My office has to change or something has to change. But what I'm finding is that what comes out is me sticking to my plot. And it's boring. And yeah, it's all there, but it's flat. I've discovered if I go to bed at a reasonable hour, wake up early before everybody else gets up, and sit in my bed after I let the dogs out, go back to my bed, sit in my bed, and write longhand. Then later I come back and use Dragon Naturally Speaking and Scrivener and put it onto the computer. It's much better. It's much better. It comes from the heart. It comes from somewhere else. It comes from somewhere, but it's really real, and I get insights into people that I'm not going to figure out sitting there at my desk thinking about them. They just flow. The characters speak, the characters flow, and it's really exciting to me to discover this. So, although I don't go back and edit, because that tends to kill things, and it doesn't let you progress, I don't go back and edit, but I do connect what I've written the before with what I'm writing next. And sorry, I was trying to get onto something. What was it?
I was just going to say, if you could just say that again, because I have heard that from so many writers, that it's important not to edit as you're writing. Am I right?
Yes.
I'm not a writer, so I'm just gathering this from the ones that I've talked to.
Yes. You'll get a lot about this if you pull up my PDF that I've sent on to you, onto Paula. Three or four of the points out of the eight say that, basically. The first one is write, just write. Get it out of your head and down on paper. Plan your writing the best way for you. But the most important thing is that let go of that internal editor. Just write whatever comes out. It might be junk, but so what? You can't edit a blank page. So get on with it and progress your story. And to that end, the thing that taught me to go forward and not go back and edit, because some people say, oh, I edit while I write. And yeah, they don't go very fast. That's all right. Some people do, but I find that doing NaNoWriMo, which is NaNoWriMo, doing NaNoWriMo taught me to write and not go back and edit. NaNoWriMo is an online challenge that is in the month of November. So it's National Novel Writing Month. It's every November. You register for it online. Doesn't cost you anything, but it's something to which you can be accountable. You can get friends in there that you kick each other on. That works too. But the goal is for an adult, 50,000 words in 30 days. And that's about 26 plus 100 words a day. And it's doable. It's a stretch for a lot of people getting started. It's a stretch for me doing something. I can do that some days, and other days I think, okay, but as a professional writer, you need to be able to do that. And NaNoWriMo teaches you, you cannot go back and write when you only have that many minutes in a day to squeeze it in around everything else that you already have to do. So it teaches you to go forward and keep going. And I love it. And there's one for juniors called NaNoWriMo Young Writers Program. And I led 13 students at a local high school or college, as it's called here, through that. And those kids achieved their goals. They set goals everywhere from 5,000, 10,000 to 30,000. And several of those kids were talking year nine. So 13 and 14 years old, they did 30,000 words in a month during school time. Several of their teachers let them work on it in class when they had their English classes and stuff like that. But those kids did it, and I'm so proud of them. Some kids at Waihee College in New Zealand. And one boy who joined our group, although I was a friend of his family, and he was far, far away, and he did it as well. So, and he's actually put his book up on Amazon. Very exciting.
Wow.
So getting kids doing that. And I'm also a teacher. I forgot about that. While I was injured, I did a graduate diploma to teach high school sciences because I didn't think I'd ever practice again. So I do a bit of relief teaching now as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Very, very creative and multi-talented. It's nice to see the science marry with the arts.
It is. And there is a lot of that in my stories. I have a lot of period veterinary medicine.
Oh, great.
In there, which I love. Yeah, I love that. There was a story that really did it for me, and that was Mary Stewart wrote a book called Heirs Above the Ground that I read years ago. Mary Stewart may not be very well known now, but she used to write really neat travel romantic fiction. Loved it. But she this book, she's got some veterinary medicine in it on a Lipitz honor, and that was very exciting. So I thought, yep, I'm going to do that. So I do. In the story, so there's always
wonderful.
Quite a bit of that.
That sounds
I put as much
wonderful.
As I can.
Now, what are your plans for the future? You're going to continue to write, and what about teaching?
Ideally, I want to be a full-time writer. I've gone to the trouble of building a referral dental practice, and I'd like to remain available for people in New Zealand to have for good dentistry and to be able to teach dentistry to other vets and to educate owners about dentistry as well. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing a little bit of writing for veterinarians, and I'll be doing some writing for owners as soon as I finish this series. I've got to finish this series. And then I will be doing something for horse owners as well.
I was sort of wondering, though, about working as a teacher in riding or doing some kind of class. So are you pretty well finished with that?
I've been doing relief teaching, which mm-hmm. does not allow me really to... I like to be able to make a difference.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid at the local school here, I can't make as much of a difference as I'd like to make mm-hmm. as a relief teacher. When we're doing something called long-term relieving, where you have them 6 weeks or more, I can. I love it. Mm-hmm. I've even struggled through 6 weeks of teaching year 13, like 18-year-olds, physics. And the physics is higher than the physics that I had at my first year of university. Whoa. So that was a stretch. That was a real stretch. I only had 1 year of it at university, and the stuff these kids were learning was harder than that. So that was exciting. It's not something I want to do right away. But the problem with teaching full-time is that I can't write.
No, but I was thinking even little class or classes to help inspire or lead students that would like to write
yes.
in a direction that, yes. that your experiences can inspire them.
Yeah, I've offered those kids that did NaNoWriMo last year that I would be happy to help them if there wasn't a teacher at school that wanted to do it. I spend a lot of my time inspiring new writers. As I mentioned briefly, I'm a member of the Romance Writers of New Zealand, mm-hmm. and right now I'm actually their president. So we do a lot of helping people get started and helping people improve their craft if they want to do that. I think I can do a lot of good right there. I think Romance Writers Association, people tend to cringe and mm-hmm. lose it rather because, but when you ask them, do you know the difference between category romance and romance, they give you a bit of a blank stare. And category romance is the Harlequin, Mills and Boone, that sort of writing. But so that's category romance. And then I ask them, well, how many novels that you've read lately don't have any romance in them at all? And you can see the light come on. Okay, so although there are romance writers clubs around the world, and a lot of those people don't write category romance. A lot of them just write novels of many genres, but there is some romantic component, and that's usually all it takes to classify for most of the competitions and contests in there, which give you great insight into writing, your writing.
Exposure.
Improving your exposure. Exposure and improving your craft, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's super. All right, well, can you tell us, Elizabeth, where people can find you on the internet if they want to, if they've read your book and would like to communicate with you and tell you
okay,
how wonderful it is.
And I love to hear from people. I love to hear what they liked. I love to hear, I don't know if I love to hear what they don't like, but it's good for me anyway. I am on just about everything. Okay. The most important thing to get is the way I've spelt it, because there is no one else online at this point with that spelling. And that is Lizzie. TREMAYNE. So it's Lizzie Tremaine, and my website is lizzietremaine.com. I have a Goodreads account in the same name. I have Twitter in the same name. I have Long Trail Facebook page. I have a Facebook page for all of my books that are coming up. I have a LinkedIn account. And LinkedIn is under Elizabeth Thompson / Lizzie Tremaine. I have a Facebook, or I have an Amazon authors page, and my book's on Amazon. And I have Pinterest. Those are all under Lizzie Tremaine. And the beauty of that spelling is that you can find them.
That's good.
Now, there's a in the back of all of my books are all my links. And The books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads, iBooks. I have a store page on my website where you can buy my books. Best if you're in this side of the world. But we have it's on Amazon, which gives you create space so you can buy in digital or paper. It's on Kobo. It's on Smashwords and Kindle. And you can buy it straight from me if you're in Australasia. And there's a place to post reviews on my website, and then there are also links to all the other places you can leave reviews. So please leave reviews. That's the best thing for an unknown author. If you love it, tell everybody else. If you didn't love it, tell me.
That's great. Well, Elizabeth, Lizzie, we're going to speak to you again. And from your other hat under the veterinarian and at some point. And I want to thank you so much for giving us your time and talking about your wonderful books. And I wish you well in continuing on pursuing this career.
Thank you very much. And I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and to all of your listeners. And if you want a little bit more information about saddling up and getting going, tips for wannabe writers to start and finish that novel, have a look at the PDF that Paula will be putting up on her page. So thank you very much for having me.
All right, then. We'll say goodbye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed my interview today with Dr. Elizabeth Thompson. And her writing name, Lizzie Tremaine. Now, Liz has given us a PDF of tips that I asked her for to help writers get inspired or help them find the course. And also, today we're going to have a message from Whitehall Publishing, and hopefully everyone will be inspired. If you have a book inside you that you'd like to get out, that you will be inspired to write. So here's a short word from Whitehall Publishing.
When you're finally ready to publish that book you've been promising yourself you would write someday, contact Whitehall Publishing. We're here to help, and we can take your book from concept to completion. At Whitehall, you'll be treated like the successful author you were meant to be. Visit us online at www.whitehallpublishing.com or email us at info@whitehallpublishing.com. Get started today. What are you waiting for?
This is Paula Slater signing off for Straight from the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. We'll see you next week. Bye.